The following program is brought to you in living color.
Why don't we try my wine?
Well, I've never been interested in domestic wine.
This isn't exactly domestic. Well, you like it, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's not really bad.
Tom, did you spend more than 50 cents for this?
50 cents for... You mean you don't like this wine?
Say, I got a good mind to return it and make them give you your money back.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva. You are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. We are your resource. We are here for you. Yes, we have gotten over our doldrums of summer. The heat has broken. It's a little bit better around here.
Feels a lot better today than it did on the last show.
Yes, it did. We are a whole lot happier, and you can tell it in our atmosphere, our mood. But I will say this. Kent and I are left alone in the show. Our producer, Laura Smales, has taken off, and she has gone to Mexico, which means we have nobody looking over our shoulder.
Yeah.
No one to keep us on track, no one to keep us on time or on focus.
No, so 50 phone calls a day.
No. So we're going to have a little fun today. And these are the kind of shows I never really get to do when Laura's around because she wants me to stay on point. Today's theme, kind of, I say kind of, Laura would just cringe, is the concept of one-hit wonders. And when I say one-hit wonders, I use that term. I know it's a music term. It's certainly not affecting the wines we're talking about today. But what we're talking about are winemakers and wineries that focus on one varietal or one wine or just something that's iconic about them. To give you an example of not one-hit wonders, but these type of wineries, Harlan, Opus, Donna Estates, Cardinal, Dolce, just wineries that are known for one single brand. Now, granted, every winemaker out there will tell you, well, I just make Cabernet. I promise you, somewhere in the recesses of his cellar is some kind of little barrel in the back room that might have Sauvignon Blanc, it might have some Chardonnay, it has something he's playing with. Will the public ever see it? Probably not, unless we grovel a lot. But today, that's what we're going to focus on. To help us along in that, we have Rob Renturia. He is the sommelier at the Martini House in Napa Valley. He has decided, against most people's better judgment, to go ahead and make wine. Now, all of us have these great ideas. I am going to make a Laura Chardonnay. There is going to be a Wine Crush wine one day. Now, everybody who knows me is just going, oh, God, Laura, please don't do that. But Rob is the brave man. He has stepped forth and decided he's going to take the chance and do something. We're going to talk to him about that. We are also going to talk to Chris Carpenter. He is the winemaker for La Colla, which to me is iconic California wine, but he also does some work with La Jota and some other brands. We're going to talk to him about the pressure of dealing with just a single amount of wine of one varietal and how he deals and copes with that, just keeping his fingers crossed and hopping down on one foot. But when we talk about one-hit wonders, everyone has to think about music and think about things. Kent, do you have any favorite one-hit wonder song?
The only one I can think of is a song called Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Swede, I believe it was.
Blue Swede. I don't know that
came
one.
Came out in the mid-70s. Ooga Chaga. Ooga.
Oh,
Ooga.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
You
that was a one-hit wonder.
You want to do that again for us?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, let's see. Spirit in the Sky, Norbin yeah. Greenbaum. I don't think of anything else he did. What about Brewer and Shipley, One Toke Over the Line?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they're, God, from the 80s, there's thousands of them. Nina, 99 Red Balloons.
And when the band gets together to do a concert, that band gets together, they just sing that same song in 12 different keys.
Exactly, over yeah. and over again.
Yeah.
There you go. Since Laura's not here, we aren't interested in wine questions today. Call us with your favorite one-hit wonder.
There you go.
877-4-CRUSH-1, or thank you, Stephen, 877-427-8741. For those of you calling in, 427-8741. Or you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Once again, this week, we aren't interested in your wine questions. We want to know your favorite one-hit wonders. Well, of course, wine is forefront on my mind, and I want to do a couple different things. Now, granted, these are not necessarily one-hit wonders, but this is what they are known for. My Sauvignon Blanc this week. Once again, man, I still can't be on that Chardonnay train just yet. I want something cool and refreshing. I don't feel guilty about throwing in the freezer. We are doing Provenance Sauvignon Blanc. Now, when we talk about Sauvignon Blanc, people are thinking New Zealand. They're thinking South California. They rarely ever think Sauvignon Blanc from Rutherford, California, the Cabernet King, the Rutherford Dust. But Provenance does it exceptionally well. They do two Sauvignon Blancs to the best of my knowledge. The one we are talking about today is the 2008 Estate Sauvignon Blanc. And yes, I'm being difficult. This is a hard wine to find. There's only 720 cases made. You have to get it from the winery. Yeah, good luck finding it. It'll give you something to do on Google and on the internet. However, it is well worth it. It is very subtle. It's very easygoing. It's got spice in it. It's got tangerine in it. It's got nectarine. Just these different flavors. It's not just the kiwi melon honey that we tend to get off these things. It does not taste like mowing your yard, and it does not taste like pink grapefruit. So it's something different. You need something different this time of year. No, I'm not going to get back on that track, but you do want something unique. Provenance Sauvignon Blanc is certainly it. I do encourage you Sauvignon Blanc fans, if you have not had it, go after it. And yes, I am talking about the Estate. Now, when we talk about La Coya, I am talking expensive Cabernet again today. I know people want to shy away from that as well, but I figured if I was being difficult on the white, I'll be difficult on the red. La Coya, to me, is the epitome of what California Cabernet should taste like. I rank La Coya up there with Donna Estates. It is just something if you have to have, you have to have once in your life. It is something that is revealing. They do a Diamond Mountain Cabernet. And Diamond Mountain is one of these properties in California that people know, they see. Sterling certainly had the benchmark on Diamond Mountain forever, but this wine is just amazing. 1,200 feet for the vineyard. It's in the Mayacamas. It's very extracted. It keeps cool, growing climate. It is just amazing to taste the Cabernet. Small little berries, everything farmed by hand. This thing is very chocolatey. It is very dark cherry. It is very dense. It is very earthy. There is nothing that this wine is not going to go with that comes off the grill. It is something that's going to be an expression in a glass, and it's definitely something you have to try once. Now, we are talking about the 06. I believe the 07 should have come out by now. Once again, a winemaker decision, but he should have released. But if you can find the 06 La Coya Diamond Mountain Cabernet, please do. It is, of course, well-regarded in the press. I think Parker gave it 93 points. I think The Spectator may have given it 95. This is well-ranked and well worth it. Good luck finding it. Have fun with it. Go to your local wine shop, ask them. But as always, you can find it online, or you can probably find it at LaCoya.com. Definitely worth looking into. So there we go. Just because I don't want you bored in summer, I have picked two difficult wine to find, but trust me, it is worth your efforts. Provenance Estate Sauvignon Blanc and La Coya Diamond Mountain Cabernet. Now, when you talk about wineries and you talk to people and you ask them, Greg Allen from Dolce is a great example. He is the winemaker that makes that exceptional dessert wine. You ask them, do you get bored making just one wine? And the answer to these questions is always no. Now, I don't know about you. I wear several hats in the jobs that I do. And I know if I had to focus on doing just one thing, I would go absolutely insane. Kind of like poor Kent. He just gets to sit in the studio and listen to me talk week after week after week.
After week.
But see, people like Kent who are passionate and are truly endeared to their job, they never get bored, do you, Kent?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yes, I know.
Thank you.
But the whole point is they can stay focused because they're passionate about what they do. And as we go through today's show, that's what we're going to talk about, the passion that goes into wine. And that, to me, is what makes or breaks a bottling, a vineyard, a winemaker. They have to truly care about what their name is going to be on, what's going to be on the label. Now, I find this most interesting because I know that I couldn't do it. I don't know about you, our listeners, but I know I don't have the perseverance and patience. So let's talk to people who do. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we are going to have some expert opinions, talk about wine and how they got into the business.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we have a gentleman who has been a guest on the show before, but never in the capacity. We're going to welcome him today. We have Mr. Rob Renturia. Presently, he is the sommelier at the Martini House in Napa Valley, California, but he's also have new ventures that we're going to discuss. Rob, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
It's nice talking with you. Sorry I missed you on my trek through California. Trust me, if I had had my wish, I would have sat on your patio for about 6 hours playing with the breadfruit tree or the kumquat tree or whatever that tree was.
Right, exactly. The loquat tree.
Loquats. Yes, yeah. Everyone needs a good loquat every now and then.
Absolutely.
Well, Rob, before we had you talking on the show about the duties of a sommelier, interesting things that you're doing, but a little birdie tells me that you have either absolutely lost your mind or you have gotten a brilliant idea. Tell me, it's not so. Are you making your own wine these days?
I am, and yes, I have lost my mind. No, but it's fun. Yeah, I started a project about 3 years ago, and it finally, through trials and tribulations, finally came on board about a month ago, and started a wine label called Analog Wine Company, along with my partner, Tracy Waldron. And it's been great. It's been about a month now, and we're starting to sell the wine and get it out there.
Now, Rob,
good.
The thought for today's show, and I don't want you to take offense to this, is we're kind of doing a one-hit wonder kind of thing.
Sure.
And the whole point of that is people who decide to make wine and kind of focus on one varietal or one wine or something like that. But I have to admit, I want to know what you're making. I want to know what you're doing. But see, you're an inspiration to me and to the listeners because you were just like the rest of us. You learned about wine. You grew up a little bit about wine. It's not like you had a silver spoon in your mouth. You didn't grow up around vineyards all the time. What possessed you to do this?
I think when I moved up to Napa from San Francisco in my position as wine director, I just think in the back of my head I wanted to learn how to make wine, become a little bit more involved with it, and then eventually start a label. And I think it just kind of, wine for me just encapsulates so many different things from, you know, where I'm coming from, that it just kind of made sense to do something like that. So, I think in the back of your head, I think as sommeliers, everyone, you know, people always think that they can do something better than already what's out there. I don't know if that's the case or not. I think it's more about, just trying to, inflict my palate, I guess, onto others.
Which is never a bad thing. Now, I have met some fellow sommeliers, and keep in mind, listeners, I am one, believe it or not, that I wish they wouldn't even drink wine, much less try and put their name on the label. However, I have consumed your wine recommendations over the years, and I do enjoy them. So is that what you're doing? Correct me if I'm wrong. You're focusing primarily on Merlot?
It's a Merlot Sangiovese blend, but yeah, there's only 5% Sangiovese in there, so... I'm just trying to make a textural wine, and I've always liked Merlot. I don't have a problem with it, but to be fair, I didn't label the wine as Merlot. It's just labeled red wine. So as a négociant, I'm able to, in future vintages, I can keep the blend ambiguous, so to speak.
Now, here's a question I've been dying to ask winemakers, and once again, I'm putting you on the spot. So ultimately, when you're going through, you've tasted the Merlot, you taste the Sangiovese, that's ultimately going to go in your blend. Bottom line, it comes down to your palate. You think, I like this, this is it, this is what I'm going to do. Yes or no?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's basically it. I think that, especially for this first vintage, what I've done as, because I purchased the fruit, the juice, it was already finished. So there wasn't much more that I can do other than just kind of go through, a few trials and tribulations on the blend and, come up with a final blend and say, yeah, I think I've got it. I think this is what I want. This is what I wanted, this is what I would want from a wine as a buyer. If, these are the attributes that I'm looking for: balance, acidity, depth of fruit, the whole nine yards.
Now, when you look at something like that, I joke around about Laura's Chardonnay, which someone has informed me already exists, but that's nevertheless, mine will be the important one. I know that if I went to the trouble of working hard and finding the barrels and working with different growers to get it all together and made a blend and someone told me, yeah, it's all right, it would take every bit of restraint I had not to come across the table and slap them in the next week. Have you encountered any problems like that, or how have you managed to keep your opinion to yourself?
Yeah, it's, you're certainly attached to it, but, it's turnabout's fair play for sure. As a buyer, I've certainly had to, tell many people, you know, not so many words know that I'm not going to buy their wine, and it's not for me and whatnot. And I think for me anyways, in that kind of, in that position, I've always tried to be fair but critical of the wine. And fortunately, I haven't really had that response. I mean, I've lived with this wine for so long that anything that anybody tells me about it isn't something that I haven't already experienced or figured out about the wine. But yeah, to get back to your question, it's tough. You have to separate yourself, and I don't have children, but it's I would imagine it's the same kind of thing that, you know, people, you know, dissing on your kids.
Oh, I could see me now ripping bottles and ripping glasses out of hand. You don't like it? Fine, give me that back. I'm not wasting my juice on you. All right. In all sincerity, though, the name of the wine I think I caught was Analog. What is the name of the wine?
It's called Analog Wine Company.
Now, why Analog?
I wanted to choose a name that was, a one-word name that I thought encapsulated, you know, kind of an old-school feel. Which is, you know, kind of my philosophy. I'm kind of old school, and, you know, I wanted something that was kind of like that. And so it's kind of Analog, you know, where old school meets new school.
Well, you know, how many people are actually going to get that, you know, Analog versus digital kind of thing? Do you find yourself having to explain the name and the words, and do you get frustrated with that?
No, it depends. Well, it depends on, you know, like a younger generation will look at it and they'll know what Analog is. On the label, I have the 45 spindle. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yes, I do know what the 45 spindle is, especially since we were just talking about Norman Greenbaum and Brewer and Shipley. I still have the 45s.
Okay, yeah. So that's the logo of the wine. And so a certain generation, maybe ours.
Yeah.
We'll know what that is and say, oh, okay, I get it. I get the 45 spindle and the word Analog. Other kids, not Gen X, I guess the Y generation, is that what it is? Or
yeah, Y.
Generation? Y generation.
Yes.
They kind of look at them and say, you know, what's that? And that's when I know that I'm kind of old.
You're never kind of old. Well, we're coming to the end of this segment, so I've got to ask, is your wine for sale? Can our listeners buy it, or do they have to come drink it at Martini House?
No, it is for sale, but they can come to Martini House as well and drink it. It's being poured by the glass.
No, really? I'm shocked.
I know, and at the finer restaurants in San Francisco as well. But absolutely, we're in the midst of upgrading our Analog very Analog website, but listeners could go to www.analogwineco.com.
All right. Well, I will have them.
They can't Google it, but they have to just type it in, and they can see it's retails for $35.
Well, we will have them find it. Well, Rob, thanks for being part of The Crush, and we will have you back at some time in the future.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant, what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree million-year-old beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Her name was written on the photograph. Right next to her red sunburned face. It all had happened in that long tall grass, about a mile from her old place. I can't remember how it started, and if it lasted that day.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We were just speaking with Rob Renturia. Brave man, entering a brave new world, starting his own wine. And I'm delighted he was on the show, and I'm glad we are striking up a friendship, because when you talk about wines that are not one-hit wonders, but you think about Cardinale, you think about Opus, you think about Dolce, you always wonder where the names come from. So it's great to talk to someone like Rob and explain analog, because if you just looked at that on the shelf, who's to know if you'd really understand that? Maybe you wouldn't be up to speed. Ha ha, 45, 33. Yeah, I guess no one but my age group got that.
That's a big reach.
Yeah, I know, but I tried. But if you think about some of the things, all right, Tapestry by BV. I understand Tapestry. It's a woven together wine. It speaks to you. Get that. Opus, understand that. You know, an opus. It is my great work. Rubicon, I understand the backing behind that. But I will say this, when you talk about different one-word wines, I think my favorite story is St. Clement Arapus. I love Danielle. I love St. Clement. I love the wines they do. But it's always fascinating to me when you actually look at that bottle and you see St. Clement Arapus. And you think, what is Arapus? I've got great mythology background. My mother was an English teacher. She was a lit teacher. I can pretty much follow anything you want to throw at me. And I looked at that, and I couldn't come up with it. Now, I am hesitant to ask questions. I really am, because I realize my brain isn't always fully engaged. I know there are times where I half listen to conversations. I know that the synopses don't fire as quickly as they used to. But the more I sat there and looked at Arapus, I couldn't figure it out. So I asked one day. I thought, I'm not going to be the only person that doesn't know the answer to this question. And Danielle giggled, and she looked at me, and she said, well, we purchased St. Clement from Sapporo. And when we were trying to figure out how to name the wine, We spelled Sapporo backwards, and that's how we got Arapis. So you look at the strange way wines get their name, so it's great to talk to someone who is starting out and has a definitive vision on why they want to name things that way.
Yeah. That's what Oprah did.
What?
Harpo Productions. It's Oprah backwards.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
Ah, I've always wondered why it was Harpo. I've never caught that. I wonder if that means Evian's naive. Never mind. We're going to get back on track. Without Laura, we can get all kind of dangerous. All right. Well, of course, the show is all about you, and we encourage you to call in 877-427-8741. You can email me directly. And remember, today we're not looking for wine questions. We're looking for one-hit wonders. Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or go to our website, winecrush.com, which, by the way, it does usually hold all the links to all the guests and all the information that we give on the shows. Keep in mind, we have kicked Laura to Mexico, so we may be a little late this week. Kent and I can flip for it, but let's face facts, it's going to be a while till you can find the links, but you can find everything you want to know there, including a direct email to us, info@winecrush.com. Well, right now we do have a brave caller on the wine line. From California itself, we have Miss Stephanie. Stephanie, welcome to the Crush.
There are so many different wine ratings and wine terms, and I just didn't know what I should be looking for and what are some key terms to be aware of when looking at ratings and wine tasting notes and things of that nature.
Oh, boy. All right, Stephanie, living in California, you probably see more wine ratings and more tasting notes and more things than the rest of the country combined, between the San Francisco Gate, between the Spectator, Parker, Advocate, you name it, they're out there. Now, when you're looking at the ratings, the best advice I can give anybody is find somebody you like. We've talked about this on the show in the past. Whether you like the big style of Robert Parker, whether you like the wines of Matt Kramer, whether you like Lobie and how he presents things, you need to find someone whose palate is similar to yours. So the best advice I can give you is do take a moment to go through all the different wine magazines, whether it's Wine and Spirits, Restaurant X, whether it's all the different stuff that ranks things. Sante does a nice job. Wine and Spirits, I mentioned. Wine Spectator, Wine Enthusiast, Connoisseur's Guide. Find something that gave a really high point rating to a wine you can afford. Try it. If you like it, look at their other ratings. Look at other wines that rated similarly, because hopefully what you're going to find is you're going to find a palate impression, and you can line up your palate with that person. Just like for those of you who try the wines I recommend here on the Wine Crush, I have a certain style. I have a certain palate. There are certain wines I like. There are certain wines I don't. It doesn't mean that any of those wines are better than the other, but this is my profile, and this is what I like. Now, of course, I tell you at the end of every show, drink what you like, not what you're told. But the hope is that somewhere along the line, somebody thinks like you do. Now, of course, I'd love to do a poll with all of our listeners and see if anyone had ever tried all my wine recommendations and if they liked all of them. Because let's face facts, I am a bit schizophrenic. I am across the board on wines and what I like. I would say I'm a moody drinker. Most people who do ratings are not. So, Stephanie, the best advice I can give you is emulate, imitate, see what you like, see what you don't, and that will give you an idea. But above all, don't buy something because it's 98 points. Don't buy it because it's 96 points. Don't buy it because it got three puffs, four X's, or three little smiley faces. Buy it because you like it. Well, Stephanie, I hope that helped. And right now we are going to take a couple of emails because these are interesting. I can't really answer them, but they'll be fun to talk about. This is an email, and this is from Karen in Connecticut. How can so many wineries have the same name? Why are there two Stag's Leap, two Napa Cellars? Isn't this illegal? Well, Karen, the best advice I can give you on this one is look closer. Put your glasses on when you're looking at the label. There are not two wineries named Stag's Leap. There is one named Stag's Leap Winery. There is one named Stag's Leap Cellars. Now, I will agree with you. I had the pleasure a while ago of selling both Stag's Leap Cellars and Stag's Leap Winery. It is a headache. It is hard to keep things in check. It's hard to keep track of things. But ultimately, they're different winemakers, different styles, different types of wine in the bottles. You have to pay attention to the labels. Now, as far as why wineries did this, keep in mind that Napa and Sonoma and California was a pot shot. Basically, from 1965 on, people found old wineries, people settled old farmhouses, and they decided, okay, well, I'm over here by Stag's Leap. Stag's Leap is actually a place in California. Well, I'm going to be Stag's Leap Winery. I'm right here on Stag's Leap. Well, of course, its neighbor right down the street. Well, I'm on stag sleep, but I have a cellar. I'm going to be stag sleep cellars. And so that's how the names came about. Usually they were names of place, names of people. So that makes a difference. And when you look at people that are named by geographical regions, there's going to be a lot of similarities, whether it's Napa Ridge, Napa Cellars, Napa Wine Company. It can get confusing. So pay attention, write down what you like. I think one of the favorite stories I ever had with someone was they came to me and they said, oh my God, I absolutely love Stag's Leap Petite Sirah. I said, great, it's a wonderful brand. And she's like, but I can't find it. I'm like, what do you mean you can't find it? She's like, well, I've looked everywhere and people tell me it doesn't exist. And finally, I looked at her and I said, this is the easiest way to tell me what you're looking for. I said, when you look at the label, was the stag standing still or was he jumping? And she looked at me like I had four heads, but finally we got the bottom of it. Sometimes it's all on the label. Sometimes it's however you have to look at it. 10 of one, 12 of one, 6 of one, half dozen of the other. That's how it all makes a difference. Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we return, we are going to have a wonderful winemaker come on, Mr. Chris Carpenter, and tell us about La Colla and Cardinal and these great one-hit wonder, so-called great wineries that put the stress of making one wine on their winemakers.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozart's are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I go to bed, but sleep won't come.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush, and times are not tough here at the Crush. We are having a lot of fun. Kent, thank you for the new music. This is just refreshing.
I do like it. Yeah.
All right, right now we have Chris Carpenter on the Wine Crush to talk to us about La Jolla, Cardinale, and all these great wineries. Chris, welcome to the Crush.
Thank you. Thanks Chris, for having me.
Oh, this is just a delight. Now, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you because I'm sure at some point people will find offense. Kent and I started today's show talking about one-hit wonders. You know, different songs that had happened over the years where the artist just did that one song, was famous, and disappeared. So I have mentioned the concept one-hit wonder, but I certainly don't apply it to you. My God, La Jolla, Cardinale, you make some of the iconic California wines. But our question our listeners have is, how do you do it? How do you deal with the pressure of doing something like that?
Well, that's a good question. The key to winemaking, no matter who tells you different, is vineyards. Yeah, if you're going to make really good wine, you absolutely have to have the raw product to work with. And the analogy that I always use is that of the alchemist. You know, you can't make gold from lead, but you can certainly get gold, raw gold, and shine it up and make it a little bit more presentable, and that's what I try to do with the quality of the vineyards that I'm working with here in Napa.
Now, of course, you're outstanding, part of the Majestic Group. You obviously make the wines for La Jolla. You make the wines for La Jolla. By the way, the 2006 Diamond Mountain Cab is my wine recommendation for this week. I'm tormenting our listeners, number one, if they can find it. Number two, they have to pay for it. But, of course, Cardinale, too. Now, when you look at the wines that you make, let's use Cardinale, since all Cardinale does is Cardinale. How do you find and determine the blend for Cardinale? Is it your flavor profile? Is it a certain taster's profile? What do you look for when you have that stress of making the 2010 Cardinale? How does it come together?
Yeah, so in order to make that one wine, I'm sourcing from approximately 30 different sources for grapes. And of those 30 sources, I'll make 30 different wines, and we'll process them each individually, because each one of the places that I'm getting that fruit from, whether it's from one mountain to another or within one vineyard, has something unique flavor-wise that we are looking for or that we think is worth preserving. And if we were to put them all into one tank at the very beginning, we'd lose that unique character, what sets that wine apart. In about February of each year, I sit down with the vintage that had occurred a year and a half prior, and I start trying to figure what my blend is going to be. And the way that I do that, there's three different factors that I'm really concentrating on. One is, of that 30, I know there's probably three, maybe four wines in that group that are just outstanding. And I know that I don't want to not use, is that a double negative?
We'll forgive you. We threw English out the window.
I often don't speak English very well. But I want to use every drop of those four wines. So I'll put those four wines in a together, and I'll do that at the blending table. You know, so I'm not doing it in the cellar yet. I'm doing it by way of a ratio relative to the wines that I have in the cellar, what I'm doing on the blending table, and that becomes the foundation of the wine that I'm building on. The second thing is, each year that could be very different, and that's what makes winemaking and drinking wine something unique, is that you're not going to get the same, if at the level of the wine that I produce, you're not looking to get the same flavors each and every year. Now, there are wines out there that you can go to the grocery store and you are buying that consistency. When you're spending the kind of money that it takes to bring in the kind of wines that I'm producing, you're not looking for that part of the consistency equation. What you're looking for is a certain level of quality. So I let the vintage determine that. So in one vintage, maybe it's Howell Mountain that is becoming the predominant part of that foundation blend that I've just put together. Maybe one year it's Viter, whatever it happens to be. Then I have the other 26 wines that I need to that I'm going to try to get into that blend.
Oh my God!
But that comes back to the original question. Well, what is it that is consistent? Because somewhere along the line, something has to be consistent. And for me, it's not necessarily the flavor profile, because I want that vintage to determine that. It's the middle body of the wine, you know, the texture and the fat and the meat of the wine and the length. So I'm really into texture. I think wine is not only about flavor, but it's about a tactile sense as well. And that texture for me is really important. And a lot of where we perceive texture on our palate as we're tasting that wine is in the middle of the spectrum of flavor that you get from a wine, the middle body or what makes a wine weighty, if you will. So I'm trying to keep that consistent. The finish, I want it to have an incredible length of finish. I want you to be able to swallow the wine, and then you're still tasting it 2, 3, 4 minutes after you've swallowed it. That for me is the length factor that I'm looking to achieve. So I'll start building wines around those two parts of the equation with the foundation wine that I have. Now, that foundation wine may have a gap in the middle, and that's okay, because I probably have a wine in that inventory that I can fill that gap with. And so I'll start doing little mini experiments at the blending table to try to fill that gap in. So, for example, maybe I'll take 5 glasses and I'll add what would be 5% of this other wine into that base wine in the first glass, maybe 7-8% in the second glass, 10% in the third glass, 15% in the fourth glass, and then I'll taste them all. And as I taste them, I'm looking for those keys to see if I'm building that portion of the wine that I'm trying to fill in. And somewhere in there, I'll figure it out. Maybe at the 10% level, I've filled it in. And then I just keep doing that back and forth. And it's a matter of trial and error to try to narrow it down.
Chris, you are truly a master when it comes to that, obviously, with the ratings that Cardinale get, the ratings that La Jolla get. I don't envy you your job. I will say that. I don't know. By the time I got to the difference between 10 and 12% and trying to blend from this barrel, from that barrel, I'd be drinking the glasses. I can't say I'd just be trying to taste them. So, Chris, we do admire the job you do, and we appreciate you coming on The Crush today. I love the idea that someone can take it that seriously. So, see, you give me my counter argument when people say, oh, anyone can make just one wine. Chris, you couldn't pay me enough money to do what you do and what you put up with. I don't know how you deal with the stress.
Well, I appreciate that. I deal with the stress in many different ways. it's not so much the stress of making the blend. It's the stress of knowing that I have a number of people that are going to be critiquing it.
Oh, no. There's no critics in the wine business. Hey, listen, will you uphold Ed Sobraja's comment, it takes a lot of great beer to make good wine?
Absolutely.
All right. That's what we wanted to check. All right. Well, Chris, thank you very much for being part of The Crush, and hopefully we'll be back when you get your blends in and we can talk a little bit more about La Jolla at a later date. Chris, thank you for being on The Crush today.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap this show up, talk a little more about one-hit wonders, and give our hats off to all those winemakers brave enough to do exactly what Chris and Rob are doing.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible. And today, the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have kind of laughed and half-heartedly joking around about one-hit wonders, and we have talked to Rob Renturia and Chris Carpenter. Rob, of course, with his new analog, and Chris Carpenter being the legend that puts together La Jolla and Cardinal. But if you look at it, any way you look at it, it is difficult to do what these guys are doing. Number one is step up and put your name on one item. Something like Cardinal, year in, year out, people are looking for the best of the best, and they are going to pay for the honor of drinking it. It would stress me to no end. What Rob's doing is putting his toe in, deciding, I have talked about wine, I tell everyone I know about wine, I'm going to make my own wine. That takes a brazen, great attitude and a great approach, and I envy both of them for what they're doing. But when you look at it, when it comes down to it, we talk about one-hit wonders. You are judged by that one song. That is the standard you're going to hold yourself to for the rest of your life. When we talk about winemakers who make one wine, they are judged by that vintage after vintage after vintage. They have to have consistency, they have to have passion, and they have to have a grand scope and idea of what they like and what everyone else will like. So that's what it comes down to it. It takes a master to make one wine. Anyone else can pay attention to the other varietals and get it right. So keep that in mind next time you see that one lonely wine on the shelf. All right, we're wrapping up the crush, and as always, we remind you to sip socially. Drink responsibly. Drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.